Welcome to VFN TV and the daily VFN radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome to VFN TV. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me just a moment is John Ramos. Thank you so much for joining us today. Who would ever thought about it? A global identification card. Right now with the refugees, it's being reported that are going from the Middle East, going into different nations, into Europe. They're small nations compared to the size of America, so they're going over borders. They're saying we need to be able to identify them, some biometric identities. As a matter of fact, George Soros is reported that's actually fueling this whole refugee crisis, reports are, so that he can push this global identification. And we just found out that in September at the United Nations, our president signed, along with other leading nations, a vision for getting global identification, for biometric global identification for everyone on the earth by 2030. What's going on? You think, well, how could this happen? I know that it's been going in India since 2012. As a matter of fact, let's just take a look back at India and what they were doing. It's called Imprinting India, where they begin to identify, and they have, what, 1.3 billion citizens in India. At that time, they did over 200 million. They may have them all done by now. As a matter of fact, let's take a look.
Imagine creating a system to track 1.2 billion people, photographing them, fingerprinting them, cataloging them, giving them all IDs. My next guest is not just imagining that system, he is tasked with making it a reality in India. Nandan Nilekani is the chairman of India's Unique Identification Authority. His previous claim to fame was as one of the founders of Infosys, India's pioneering technology firm. Welcome.
Thank you, Fareed.
So explain, how does one even think about this? And there's so many parts to it, but let's just first start with the technical thing. So you're taking India's entire population, previously has barely been counted, let alone, and you're going to try and give every single person a biometric ID.
That's right. We have already enrolled 200 million people in the last 3 years since the project began. And we're using the biometrics to give them a unique number, which so that they don't end up having more than one number. But what's most important is that this is a digital online ID. So we're taking people, many of whom have no ID whatsoever, and taking them to the digital world. So it's like a leapfrogging of identity.
So why is this so important you know, for India? I mean, what one hears about is that these people are supposed to get loans or mm-hmm. grants or various things from the government, and most of it never gets to them. I remember the Prime Minister, Rajiv Gandhi, saying that of the $1 that we spend mm-hmm. on poor people, on average, the poor person receives 10 cents.
15, I think, but whatever, 15 or 10 cents.
But the middlemen take up all the rest of the money.
Well, actually, there are two primary drivers for this. One is that we still have millions of people who don't have a formal identity or acknowledgement of their existence by the state. And unless you have a formal acknowledgement of existence, you can't get a bank account or a loan, you can't get a mobile phone, you can't get your entitlements, you can't get a job, you can't rent a house. So everything is linked to your basic identity. So this, in some sense, you can think of as a massive inclusion program to get the poor and the marginalized and the identityless into the formal economy. So that's one part of it. The other part is that the Indian government spends something like $60 billion a year on entitlements and benefits to millions of people. And they need to make sure it reaches the right beneficiaries. So by having this ID system, we can make sure that people's scholarships, pensions, employment guarantee schemes all go directly to the right person, either into the bank account or whatever account. So both it makes government expenditure more efficient, effective, and equitable, and it's a massive inclusion exercise.
You think about this. They've been working on this. This is 3 years prior to this report in 2012. Today, according to reports, that they are working on a global identification unique number for everyone. Do you know that it says in Scripture, in the book of Revelation, that part of the end time aspect of what's things coming to a conclusion, that it will be an economic system. It's all based on money. You notice their concerns are, we want to distribute money fairly. You know, the dollar that we're putting on the poor, only 15 cents gets to them, which that is a tragedy. But is giving everybody a mark and a number, is that the answer? We're going to talk about this and so much more, including reports are the Vassar College is shredding the Constitution. We have to wake up to this day and the age that we're in. Join us after the break.
We'll be right back.
Did you know that 90% of boys and 70% of girls are exposed to pornography online? Meanwhile, 71% of kids say that they're hiding internet activity from their parents. In 56% of divorce cases today, a major contributing factor is one spouse's continued use of inappropriate content online. What are you doing to protect your family online? Covenant Eyes Internet Accountability monitors how the internet is used on your family's mobile devices and their computers. Each web page visited is rated similar to TV shows or video games, like T for teen or M for matures. And as a parent, you can receive weekly reports for your kids. Plus, you can invite your friends to receive reports for your internet activity, which enables you to enjoy the benefits of accountability and protection online as well. Sign up today.
Welcome back to VFN-TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Well, welcome back. Yeah, it's actually being reported by WND about this biometric identification. It's issuing numbers to individuals. Mm-hmm. And anytime somebody tries to get you fearful, I mean, we talked about over and over again, you know, organizers of the day versus organizer of, right, of the night, the rules for radicals, you know, Saul Alinsky's, you know, techniques. It's being used on the world. They're using luciferic tactics to organize the world.
Yeah.
But it's been used, according to Saul Alinsky, in the dedication of his book, since the beginning of time. Lucifer used it in the presence of God, right?
And the book was dedicated to Lucifer.
It was dedicated to Lucifer. Isn't that crazy? It's true. You can actually see it on the VFN torch. And so, you know, so then people get you fearful, and all of a sudden you start giving up your rights, giving up your freedom, and it's like, I don't know, strap an iPad to my kid when they go to school because I'm scared that something's going to happen. And all of a sudden we begin to trust our knowledge instead of trust God. And then all of a sudden somebody else is using that knowledge to be able to do some pretty wild things. But WND, you know, reports that they call it a bludgeoning. This is a system, a bludgeoning system that will end up bludgeoning every Christian out of our society.
Wow.
It says it'll force the culture into retreat. And that's what you look at all these refugees. One town, John's reported that in Germany, it may have like 170, 270 citizens. They have more cows than people. They're about to bring in thousands of Muslim refugees into this one German city. That's going to be a Muslim city.
It's going to overtake it, yeah.
It's going to overtake the city. And, of course, the 270 are going to go, well, I'm fearful. Our culture has changed now. We need to get, but I don't want to be protected from these refugees. So yeah, let's issue an identification to every
Absolutely.
One of them. And then the 270 is going to get one, too.
Mm-hmm.
And he says they're going to force the culture into retreat. Then you have the weak, once everybody's in retreat and hiding and scared and all that, he said you'll have the weakest Christianity that can't withstand anything. This is exactly what happened, you know, wow, in Nazi Germany. But this is way beyond that. This is way beyond that. He goes on to say, he said, we'll need to keep better track of people because of all these particular tragedies are going on, especially refugees. But the new rules that will apply to the refugees today will apply to everyone tomorrow.
Mm.
And you think, well, that's just over there. First of all, there is no such thing anymore as over there. We're all in one world. But one of the ways they do this is through universal IDs. And he says, it's just evil. I mean, universal ID means somebody can run a search on you in China and they can find out, you know, everything about you because mm-hmm. your number is 666123496 or whatever, right?
Wow.
And then he writes in this article that the UN agenda in 2030 calls for a universal ID.
So the UN, repeat that again. The UN.
The
what?
UN agenda in 2030 calls for a universal ID, they write, for all the people. This universal ID, which grabs the biometrics, in other words, you know, the things about, like, fingerprints and retina scans and all that kind of stuff that uniquely yours,
that you're, a lot of people are just giving away to some computer company now
today,
with a facial recognition.
Today, right now, you can get your eyes checked. And one of the ways you can get your eyes checked with, for, you know, prescription glasses is they take a picture of your eye, your retina. It tells you all kinds of medical things.
Right.
I mean, it's easy. And it can save it, and it's done. And I mean,
right. It's a unique identifier.
Yeah, the technology is there.
And he says this. He goes on to write. He says the UN agenda of 2030 calls for a universal ID, which means all 7 billion people on the face of the earth would have a unique identifying biometric identifier, which grabs this biometric data. And he says, he goes on to write about it, that the goal is eventually to bring all people into this massive data bank. The proof in it is the UN's own documents. He writes, we'll make all this available to you on the torch, but 17 goals of it. One of them is called the Peace, Justice and Strong Institute. Peace, right?
Right.
And it reads by this, as he says, by the 2030, and this is what just got signed by our own president and other leading nations in September, which we knew that was the year. If you heard, it's like, okay, it's done. The system's set in place. Now things are unfolding. But by September 2030, which is right off that particular month, it's a counting month, provide legal identity for all, including birth registrations. So everything will be in one searchable database. And it makes me think of the scripture. I mean, the scripture, people say, well, they separate their jobs from God. They separate their work life from God. And you have to understand, it's all God's everywhere. And God blesses the work of our hand. He actually blesses the works of our hand. And you can't separate your job from God. You have to understand he's the one that gives us the ability to get increase. And so when you hear about economic things happening, you need to pay close attention, because in the end time, when you look at Revelation chapter 13, verse 15 through 17, it's an economic system being set up. It's a unique numerical identifier for each one. And so many people are so afraid their ID is going to be stolen. They're so afraid somebody's going to use their name for credit and this type of thing, that they're saying, listen, give me a biometric identifier. So they actually have computers that scan their faces that just say, hello, John.
Wow.
And they're just giving away all these identifiers and all. But it's economics. And this is all about money. They're always saying, you know, we need to be able to distribute tax money, which is your money they take from you, and do it in a better manner, and to be able to give people micro loans and to be able to track what's going on. It's like, you know, Hitler wanted to track everybody. He put tattoo numbers on them. That's the system they had at the time. But listen to what it says in the Word of God. It says in Revelation 13, 1 through 5, Revelation 13, 1 through 5, you can probably see it on your screen. He says, the second beast, and he's talking about a system that will set up a beast, was given the power to give breath to the image of the first beast, so that the image could speak and cause all who refuse to worship the image to be killed. So it was about, you know, a religion, some sort of world type religion that was going on. You can kind of see that forming today. And then he says this is the economic part of it. Verse 16, it also forces all people. And they just said 2030 goal for the UN is to have all people universal.
It's only 15 years away.
But this is what the scripture says. And Revelation is a prophecy telling us what was going to happen in the future. By the way, the future is here now. He says, it being the beast, it also forced all people, great and small, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their hand, right hand, or their foreheads, biometric, you know, imaging, so that they, and this is the key, it goes on to say, so that they could not buy or sell unless they had the mark, which is the name of the beast, which his number is 666. It's a number, 666. And this is like, we are in this day. And the thing about it is God's watching us. It's like, what are you doing to let people know? I mean, if God wanted to destroy everybody, we'd be dead. He wants every man to be saved. We're seeing what's going on. What are we doing? Are we just going, turning ourselves over to the systems? Yeah. Are we saying this is the sign of our Lord's soon return? Our Lord is soon to come back. I mean, the enemy is not going to Trump won up over God. God already said, you're going to do this. I mean, he already knew this is going to happen. But it reminds me of this night vision the Lord gave me. And in this vision, I was in this office space, like a large office space with, you know, pods, like office pod divider things. You know, they do those big rooms. And everybody was gathering data on everybody in the world. They were gathering like social security numbers, all the details and all these numbers. And all of a sudden, so every identifier was being gathered into a computer database. And so all of a sudden I'm realizing this is evil. This is a system being set. This is the mark of the beast. But they wouldn't let you say anything. You could not communicate, which reminds me of Sidney Granger's word, where they were going to begin to redact communication, was going to be shut down. And so The only way I could have communicated with anybody in this particular night vision was to write on a board. Everybody had like this bulletin board right beside their desk so everybody could see mine. And so I got up and I wrote on this board, John, I wrote that this is the mark of the beast and the number of his name is 666. And the data gathering was all about being able to know who you are. And I'm reading articles just this last week. You know, they're talking about now being able to diagnose medical illnesses, being able to tell whether you're sick or not, or what you need, or what's going on, or by based on your computer usage. And so they're thinking they can save a lot of time going to the doctor because they can diagnose you based on how you use technology, what you're searching for,
right.
You know, what you're watching, what it suggests. And we're getting, and now imagine having a number system that when you're in this virtual image, you know, they worship the image of the beast, mm-hmm. that type of thing, that this turning over healthcare to the government, you're seeing all this just kind of ushered in, every bit of this, you know?
All the technology points to that right now. I mean, look with your mobile phones. You can go into anywhere publicly, and especially in New York City, this was because there's stores and, you know, shops everywhere. The store would recognize when your mobile phone was in the area if you had a certain app, and it would let you know there was a certain ad, you know, coupon or special they were running as soon as you got within
it. It wouldn't recognize me. You're like, what mean is all this? We've never seen this phone in a store somewhere. Yeah.
So, it's amazing how all that stuff's already set in place.
It's giving up, you know, it's thinking that, you know, the way you live life is a waste of time. Let's find out some way just to kind of clep life. Let's just kind of make it shorter. And it's like, we got to begin to get back to the basics of how life's lived again.
Yeah. We're going to get back to critical thinking. Well, hopefully we'll have to talk about that soon in the program.
Critical thinking. For those that sign up and want to be a part of the VFN internship, it's based on critical thinking.
Yes.
You got to think. The reason why you learn so much in such a short time, you actually engage your...
You're using your brain.
Using your brain. It's amazing what you can do when somebody lets you know that. And so you're looking at, you know, I think about Google, for example. You know, Google is basically this huge data gathering, data manipulating company, and they're very successful at it. But they have people. They have people sitting behind their computers cranking continually, you know, manipulating data just nonstop. And so what they had to do was they started creating environments that made them feel like they were in family and relationships, so they could gather this data while they're in a comfortable environment. And then they created things like, I don't know about the order of these things, but they created things like, you know, sporting events and competitions. And they started feeding them there. And they created these social type things inside of Google, some of the reports are. And what they were trying to do is help them to feel comfortable, help them to feel like they're actually living a life while they're gathering all this data.
Mm.
And you think about it. Why don't we just quit gathering data and start living life?
Yeah.
They have to actually cause the one who's gathering the data to kind of have some sanity because they're just nonstop cranking out logarithms and all these different things they do for computers. And then they kind of like, you know, create some, you know, mirage of a life and that type of thing. One particular employee reports are he was living in his van. He was living in his van and
you could get away with that because they could. I think you can get your laundry done there. You can eat
everything,
free. You
everything.
Can, everything. Life was.
As long as you continue to gather the data and manipulate the data and you think about it, why would you do that? Well, they're talking about, you know, Kurzweil.
Ray Kurzweil.
Kurzweil. Anyway, that they're working on creating a mind.
Mm.
Rebuilding the
mind.
Can
write a book about it. Yeah.
Yeah, and even putting a chip in your brain. And there's people today, I mean, because we're all handicapped in regards to how, you know, we have different potentials and stuff. You know, like John and I are not as smart as Pat.
No, not at all.
He says. And, but, you know, the temptation of putting a chip in your brain to say, you know, this will help you think. It's like, why not be okay with how God created us?
Mm-hmm.
But you do that and you understand all that data, you know, teams of thousands of people, now all that data is made available to you. Does God really want us to take from this tree of the knowledge of good and evil? Or does he want us just to take from the tree of life?
Mm.
What he said was, he says, don't take from this tree. And we were, I mean, decisions coming up. I mean, when somebody says, listen, we want to keep you safe. We have this biometric identifier. And nobody's going to be able to steal your credit card information. They're not going to be able to hack into your checking account. And we'll always know where you are. So all you got to do is push this button and we'll come send some people to rescue you. You know, all you got to do is just take this biometric identifier. And he says, you know, if you do not worship the beast, the image of the beast, then, you know, it's going to be horrific.
Mm.
But those who take the mark and worship the beast, you're saying, I'm not going to worship God. So you've got to get some clarity in this. This is what he says in the word. We're going to go to break. He said, these days take wisdom. They take wisdom. You have to have wisdom. This is not going to come at you like a Google search. This, you have to really hear and spend time with God and maybe continually be listening to VFN TV or programs like VFN TV. There's very few.
Mm-hmm.
And start letting God penetrate your thought life and say, you know, God, you know, what do I do? Because those who hear the Spirit and follow the Spirit are sons of God. So he'll tell you what to do. And you have to be willing to look people in the eye and just say, no. You have to be willing to be unpopular. Jesus says you have to be willing to be hated because they treated me that way. They're going to treat you the very same way. We get back from the break. We're going to talk about a Vassar College, how they're shredding the Constitution because a student told them that it actually offended them seeing the Constitution. Yes, it's happening one after the other. Join us after the break.
We'll be right back.
Law, Liberty, Justice. This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulow.
I've been told at my workplace that I'm not allowed to have any religious conversation with any fellow coworker. Me and another coworker want to converse about this, and it does not interfere with the work environment. They're having someone else offended, and I told them we have the right to freedom of speech, but we don't have the right not to be offended. And I just want to hear your views on that there.
You're right. I mean, sometimes people have interpreted, and some courts have interpreted the First Amendment as a basis upon which you have the right not to be offended. But when you're on your break time, when you're in the lunchroom during lunch, and you want to have discussions about your faith, about what the gospel means to you in your life, you're allowed to have those discussions. Let me get you in touch with some of our legal staff here at the American Center for Law and Justice, and we'll get you some help as well.
Join the American Center for Law and Justice in defending our religious liberties. Find out more at aclj.org. That's aclj.org.
It's people just like you, friends like you, that stand with us and understand, you know, we've got to make a difference in our generation, that stand with us prayerfully and financially, that just partner on a monthly basis to financially build a foundation that where we can carry this message not only to the nation of America, but to the nations of the world. It's amazing how so many people are being encouraged by a simple gift of a few dollars a month, $25 a month, $50 a month, whatever it is. And you know what? Together, if you're having difficulty in how to present the gospel to this generation, partner with us.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. Can you believe, John, that, you know, and what it is, it looks like some, this is alleged things that are being recorded mm-hmm. at Vassar College, and that they were just checking the theory out that if you went and told a teacher or a counselor or whoever they're talking to, the employees of Vassar, that it caused, if you see the Constitution, it triggers something negative inside of you and pain inside of
is
you.
Is it crowding your space?
Yeah. And so, you know, based on what they're saying is their assumption was the teacher would say, you're crazy, get out of here.
Right.
Instead, the teachers and these leaders, whoever, you're going to see them, we're going to show you, they actually shred the Constitution. They say it does cause pain. This is where 70% of Christian children, young people that go to college, 70% of the reports are they leave their faith.
Mm.
And now you're looking at they're leaving the Constitution. You're not going to be really surprised why. But Vassar, tell us about Vassar.
Vassar College was founded in 1861. It's a highly selective residential co-educational liberal arts college. Wow, that's a mouthful.
Yeah.
Constantly ranked amongst the top liberal arts colleges in the country. And Vassar is renowned for pioneering achievements in education. For its long history of curricular innovation and for the beauty of its campus.
So what you're about to see, so you're seeing these young people, potentially students, they're going and saying that the Constitution makes them feel bad when it's around. And you're also seeing them walk around handing out constitutions. This is if this is authentic,
yeah,
and the young people are beginning to see the importance of the Constitution,
yes.
This is so important. But the shocker is, all this money and all this college debt that everybody owes, you're paying it to these people who are shredding our Constitution and shredding faith in the hearts of our young people. As a matter of fact, let's take a look now.
They were handing the Constitution out on campus. I didn't think that this would happen, but I realized that the Constitution is kind of a trigger for me. Overall, I see it just as a really oppressive document. I mean, I'm like scared to walk around campus and see the Constitution. Honestly, can we just is there like a shredder or something? I think it might be like really therapeutic to see that.
Yep, I think we have a shredder in the front office there. Did you want to do it with me?
Yeah, I could watch.
Yeah, okay. Yep.
The Constitution in everyday life causes people pain.
Is there a shredder that I could use?
A shredder?
Yeah. In here?
The Constitution?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Want a Constitution? There you go. Right to bear arms. Hello there. Would you like a copy of the Constitution?
Is he coming?
God, girl. New stove for your mama. New J's for your kids. We're giving out Constitutions. You interested in taking one? Okay. I'm a little sad. Can I interest you in a Constitution today?
No, thank you. But you look amazing.
Oh, thank you.
What?
Your phone number?
I don't have an American.
Oh, you don't have an American number? Like, maybe... No, I'm an American Constitution, so I need an American phone number, but have a good day.
I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you've joined us. Don't forget you can join us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Download our app and sign up for our newsletter, The Torch, at VFNTV.com. I've enjoyed our time together. God bless.